What?
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
After dark,
that's right.
Yeah,
this is where it gets interesting.
Oh yeah,
this is
all goes to plan.
The third beer for
me.
At this point.
Oh so, really? You're at three. I'm on this
well,
is number
be,
two.
Okay, I'm on number two still, but number
strong
three
ale too.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a beer and a half in, and
yeah.
Now that I've cut hard liquor out of my life for 6 days or whatever, it's really hitting me, guys.
You've replaced it all with beer. So
that's right. It's amazing how much better you feel the next day when you don't have a nightly, you know, two or three whiskeys.
Yeah, it turns out even though it makes you tired, it also makes you sleep like shit.
So I have not been falling asleep till 2 or 3 in the morning. Like I didn't realize like I was chemically dependent on this on some level.
Oh my God.
But then when I do fall asleep, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to get up and work. That's the problem.
Yeah, there it is. Speaking of good beers, I had a Heady Topper for the first time.
I've heard that term.
Yeah.
And it's not so
I don't familiar
that,
with this?
That is a not safe for work.
Phrase.
Oh, I think so.
No,
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, this is the after dark.
Let me explain what a Heady Topper is. Yeah. So,
is there an ethnic component to that, or what is that? What is that exactly?
Is that what you're worried about, or are you just saying?
Because
it sounds like a sex act, basically, is what you were saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Okay. What is it?
No.
Because
as far as I know, hopefully there's no ethnic problem with that name. So.
It's not that Chicago stuff we were talking about.
It's a craft brewery in Vermont.
But it
really came on the scene after I left New England.
Don't people like line up for?
Absolutely, they go nuts for it. Yeah, they do limited releases, and if you're
shout
in
out
Vermont,
Three Floyds, by the way, Mr. Chicago over there. Yeah, that's.
But yeah, the people go nuts for it back in like people drive from all over the Northeast to go get it when it's available, and it's limits on how many you can buy and things like that. So I've always heard about it.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I feel like the hype of it was like maybe like 6 years ago, but I never got it.
What is like, what's the type of,
so I had, it was a double IPA is what I had. It is now available apparently in certain, you know, finer liquor stores here in the greater Denver metro area.
What makes a liquor store a finer liquor store? I've always,
well, when they get limited run craft beers from Vermont,
so it's not the ones with the alcoholics lining up before they open at 11, twitching. Okay.
Yeah.
That's because we have those in Denver.
Yeah, we do. No, this one, if you make your way over to Bonnie Bray Liquors in the Bonnie Bray neighborhood,
that would be
Denver,
a finer liquor store for sure.
They have a great beer selection there. Yeah. You can get this there occasionally when they have it. So yeah, it's a hard get, but yeah.
Shout out Maggie Janko, wife of Justin Janko, who introduced us way back when. She's an architect and did the interior of that store. That's how much I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that about her. Okay, yeah, I'm a big fan of that place. So
she takes you in circles and just buy more and more. You know.
It's like a casino. It's designed to keep you lost and keep you in there longer.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is a finer liquor store. Yeah,
there it is. So, well, we were joking. We're calling this it's a bonus episode. We might say it's like a 0.2 of a model
designation. I like
designation.
That. I like that. And you know, 0.2 is always the best of
It is. Of course. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So,
never a 0.2 718 Cayman, interestingly.
No. However, I did have a, could call it the 0.2.
Okay.
944. Because I had the late 944.
Segue. This guy's
right?
a pro.
That's a good segue. That's what we wanted to. Yeah. So good segue there, Oliver. It's like you've done this before. Wanted to talk about, you were a previous owner of a 944.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of get into that a little bit because that's a car that's always intrigued me a little bit and I'm always curious about it. So what exactly did you have?
Well,
let's start with that. So
my first car.
First car.
Bought it with my own money.
Wow.
1987 Porsche 944 in black with black and tan interior, black dashboard, black seats, tan carpets.
That looked cool, I bet.
Yeah, what'd that cost? What'd that run you?
It looks sick as fuck. Yeah. It was $3,000 when I bought it.
These days.
In 2016.
Wow.
Well, this wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
For me.
For you.
For me.
Yeah, no, your life
is like when I gained consciousness.
His life is shorter, that was actually like a longer time for him.
The Cretaceous period.
As you get older, like 6 or 7 years will seem like 30 seconds to you.
Oh, I know. But so like not even that long ago. Bought it for $3,000 off some guy was like 30 minutes south of me in Illinois.
Also Facebook Marketplace?
No, Craigslist.
Craigslist.
Yes.
Craigslist. That's when Craigslist is still on its last legs. I think it's still on its last legs of the Craigslist.
I think it's on its last wooden leg right now.
Yeah.
I still look at it, but at this point, I don't think I have the guts to buy a car for Craigslist, but I still look at it from time to time. But
Facebook Marketplace has some interesting critters on there already. I don't know.
Yeah.
Craigslist is a whole nother level, but.
All right, where you should go. Sorry to interrupt, but our friend Willis Wood has a new venture called AutoHawk.
AutoHawk? Like AutoHawk.
H-A-W-K.
Oh.
And it actually aggregates all of the automotive auctions, bring a trailer at all.
So yeah. I like it.
I just want to get that in there.
But probably not Craigslist, though. It's too fine for that.
No, it's got to be an auction. Yeah. Nothing, everything is good on AutoHawk.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah. Well,
all right.
It was
so 87, so that's late in the production for the 944, which is cool.
The crossover from early to late 944, when the refresh, when the point one and point two essentially was.
Didn't call it that then.
85 and a half.
Okay. Remember when half year thing? That was like a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 86 was still like. Kind of strange. Like
sure.
It still had, I believe it still had like the early offset for the wheels.
Okay.
But 87 was when it got totally, everything's in line with the
turbo. 924. So it has like 944.
There was still a 924 up until like the late 80s though.
Well, they brought it back, right?
Yeah, I don't understand who was buying it.
They did. Well, they had
Playboys on a budget.
Yeah, I'm not prepared for this arm, but there was a 924 model, right? And then they were building it side by side for a while, and then it was gone completely. They brought it back for like what, like a turbo GTS or something model.
That's what inspired the 944.
And then
the Carrera GT.
There was a 924 turbo, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the first Carrera GT was the
924
Carrera GT.
That's true.
Do you think all the guys that have real Carrera GTs have one of those there too? So he has like all of them.
They might as well.
Because it's like a rounding error for them to pick one of those up, right? Yeah.
It's like picking a quarter up off the ground.
You might as well. It's like, I'm gonna throw a quarter away.
Which even my daughter won't do in 2024.
I respect it.
No, I won't.
I'm up there with pennies. I'm just saying.
So 87, that would be sort of like that newer refreshed interior, right? Yep. Like not the, there's like the older ones that have that kind of like always like a brown sort of like the old three spoke wheel,
which I love.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's coming to its own.
It had like it seriously, the late 944 is one of my favorite cars ever.
Yeah.
It's like so muscle car alt like esque.
It
makes sense why the LS swap is so common in them because it begs for more power.
We're talking non-turbo 944.
Yeah.
Richard, I want to get to
2.4 NA. Yeah. It made I think 170 horsepower.
Okay.
And it wasn't
that's correct.
Slow.
That's
correct.
Yeah,
did you look it up?
I just know that.
Oh, okay.
It just burned into my mind.
Yeah. It was a car and driver guy. He was like memorizing every year.
I
know the top
section.
Speed.
Yeah.
137?
Oh, mine was 132.
Okay. All right. I would say I'm in the ballpark. Yeah.
It's in the
margin. But you know that. You didn't read that. You know
that. Yeah, I know it. Right after, this is fine for me to say, because it was in an unincorporated road that had no speed limit.
It's like Mexico, basically.
Yeah. You know? Right after I bought the car, it definitely needed ball joints, and that was the scariest experience I've ever had in a car.
Did you get the Jeep wobble?
A little bit. It wasn't fun.
But you did it.
At the high speed. It wasn't fun north of 125.
It was still stable. If it wasn't for the ball joints, and after I did the ball joints, I completely rebuilt the front suspension on this thing. I did so much to it. I did a short shifter, like changed the little, there's like a weird little throttle because it was cable throttle, mm-hmm. obviously 80s. Mm-hmm. And, the stock one had, it was like a circle, but it had a little dong coming off of it. Mm. So to make it like, oh, it's more, you know, it's softer when you get off the throttle, it doesn't jerk you. But I wanted it to go fast.
Okay.
And so like, pretty much before I did this, where I just replaced it with a circle one, mm-hmm. you had to like step on the gas if you wanted to like go normal speed.
So this was like a malaise era sort of holdover. Is this
I think it's just, did shit like just that. How cars like it was a grand tourer. Yeah. It was four seater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think they were kind of like,
well, so I mean, just to kind of, I think to put it in a little bit of context, I mean, Porsche has always been, I mean, throughout its entire production has always been trying to offer like a more introductory, you know, level yeah. sports car.
So that's why yeah. I felt really good about getting the Cayman. Cause I was like, it's obviously incredibly different, but it's the closest thing I can get to a modern 944.
Well, yeah. And arguably, so if you look at all the different times I tried this, it's the, you know, you can call it the 912, you can call it
the poor man's Porsche.
Yeah. 914, 924. And then, you know, 944 was the, you know, I guess the fourth attempt really to try and do this, but it was successful.
Yeah.
They made a lot of cars.
Awesome.
And it was a cool looking car.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the 87, I know the differentiated look of the, normally aspirated in the turbos earlier on, but then at some point they just went to the same sort of front end.
And so that was when the S2 was, so okay. The S2 had the same front end as the turbo. I just had a normal.
So yours has the, but it's still a good looking, the base, to me, the base 944 normally aspirated look is still a good looking car.
Yeah. I like it better than the turbo, which is controversial, but I think the turbo looks too smooth and too streamlined.
Yeah.
The NA was still very 80s wedge car. And it's just awesome.
Yeah. It's aged well. I mean, it has.
You used to see them all the time.
You used to see them a lot. It's
kind of like the 240, the Volvo you mentioned before. And now when I see one, it's the exception.
Which, by the way, if you want to see 240s, go to Portland. They're still there.
That's right.
Dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
Yeah, it is.
The classic. Yeah, I picture Portland being like, Volvo 240s, Subarus, Outbacks.
Yes.
And Tacomas, basically. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
got it.
That's depression.
Like, that's like 65% of the car market right there. So
similar to Colorado, but more vintage cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they lean a little bit harder into like the sort of cheaper, funkier Volvos and Subarus. Although we do love our Subarus here in Colorado.
If you go out on a nice winter day in here in Denver, you will see an air cooled Porsche or six.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing. Oh,
yeah.
Like if, as long as there's not salt on the road, you will see.
Yeah.
It's always amazing. It's,
people drive their cars.
Yeah,
they drive their cars.
Especially, I feel there's two distinct camps of people who have air cooled cars. Yeah. It's, I will never drive this in my life.
Yeah.
Or it's, I will drive this whenever I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my 944, it was not the paint was fine.
Yeah.
There were rock chips all on the front bumper, scraped up. There were dents, but like,
did you have this in Illinois? Did that make it out here in Colorado?
And I actually sold it about 6 months or like a year before I moved to Colorado because I got scared. I was like, I need all-wheel drive, which was, I grew up in Illinois. After we moved, like it snows it's just there as bad. More.
Exactly.
And but you were thinking about mountains
and all that.
The bigger thing was if, like, it was my only car.
Yeah.
And if I get hit by a car, I would like to live.
Mm.
And I am not confident that dailying that, like just that driving that sort of thing on the weekends, perfectly fine. But dailying it, there's a much higher chance of getting T-boned by a drunk driver driving a Ram.
It's fair enough.
I was walking the dog in the neighborhood the other day, and the size differential between it was a modern Mini, and then the same driveway was a, whatever the Dodge Ram HD 2500 or whatever it was, visually the mass was four times. it was shocking. Absurd. And this isn't an old Mini. This is like a modern Mini that people complain is too big. It's just, you forget about the differential in vehicles. And then you get something like a Rivian, love them to death, but that's a lot of vehicle.
It's a big ass truck.
I wouldn't want to be hit by one in a 944.
No, Ribbons. I think, well, actually, I think it wouldn't even be that painful. I think I would just be instantly turned into mist.
That's so true. Like those guys in the submarine, right? That were going down to see the Titanic. Yeah, isn't that what happened to them?
No, you won't be maimed. You won't be maimed in that.
We talk about the red mist on this show, you know? That's
That's not where that term means, by the way.
I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that crew. So
I have sympathy for his passengers. I have no sympathy for the guy.
I have sympathy for the one dude who like brought his kid and his kid didn't want to get fucking
because I don't know what that guy was telling.
Should have been my mom.
I mean, whatever. We're already on the tangent, so I'm not going to apologize.
This is what we do after hours. Yeah,
I don't understand because they basically everyone told him is like, yeah, your thing can only go to this depth and then it will be crushed. No, it can go down deeper. It's like, no, literally.
We have an Xbox controller.
Yeah, physics will say that this thing is only rated to this depth. Well, I'm going to go further. And it's like, no, you're going to get killed. And he like went down and it exploded or imploded.
Physics dictates it must be a cylinder.
To the people who were like familiar with this like area, like, you know, deep submersibles were like, that's like the least surprising thing ever. And we told him this all the time. I don't understand why he was allowed to do that.
The most fucked up part is he did it how many dozens of times before it actually like, oh, that was, you know, one too many times. Wait,
did he successfully go down?
Oh, yeah.
I think
right.
Like six times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally just made that number up.
Yeah. Six times sounds right. 24 times. No, it was not the first time. I'm pretty sure
I know James Cameron's been down like 80 times or whatever.
Yeah, something made of metal.
James Cameron goes down in something legit though.
Yeah, exactly.
Swedish metal.
Exactly.
You know,
that's something spherical.
Little callback.
Well, he goes in something, spherical, if you will. Not like a tin can, but
the man has his own Rolex. That's all I have to say.
Does he?
A hideous Rolex, but he has his own.
James Cameron.
There's the James Cameron deep sea.
They designed one for him. Or?
He it's become known it. as the James Cameron, right? Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know. So
I want to circle back a little bit though to 944s, if we could. So you said yours was rated about 170 horsepower. Did you say?
I think so.
Somewhere in that territory. What did that feel like in sort of? So that was your first car. So it probably felt like a Ferrari, a Formula One car.
It wasn't the first car that I'd driven. Like my dad had like a Volvo S40 that I drove around for a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Until I killed it by driving it through a very deep flooded road.
Mm.
We don't like to talk
about a viaduct, perhaps.
Well, it had become one. We don't like to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
The rest in peace.
It's water under the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's water under the S40.
Volvo. It's Volvo under a bridge is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd driven like my mom's Subaru Tribeca and so like I at least knew
I don't know exactly what they're working with, but probably more than 170 horsepower though.
Yes.
Yeah.
That not 210, the Tribeca, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, 210 or 260.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I know it got 12 miles per gallon.
It's a flat six.
Well, I guess my question, I'm in Illinois, so you weren't up here at altitude, so you have a pretty decent feel of what it felt like. But like, how did it feel like? Did it feel like kind of quick, but athletic, and sort of like, it's talked about as being a momentum car. Like, how would you describe it?
It was absolutely a momentum car. It felt super comfortable. I had an hour commute to work on 355, if you know 355. It's the toll road.
Yes. Southwest. Southwest?
Northwest.
Okay.
Well, I guess if you're starting up north, then you're going southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, there's never any cops on that road. And so like, I would like just like,
cruise. Oh, they've just given up.
I would just like cruise at like 80 or 90 and it was perfectly fine. Yeah. It got great gas mileage. Mm. It was, you know, visibility was incredible.
Yeah.
The only problem was
thin A pillars and B pillars. Right?
Yeah. Well, and the huge,
God, I love that though.
The hatch glass.
Yeah.
That was such a problem though. The car had never been tinted ever.
Yeah.
And I really wanted window tints because it got so hot in the summer.
Right.
That's a rare. That was like, it's like a magnifying glass and ants in the middle.
Your defroster worked.
Yeah. So. The defroster did work.
Yeah. Because no one had ever tinted it and then tried to scrape it off. Yeah.
Mm.
But nobody wanted to tint it. They were like, it's too hard. It's too much work. Like we wouldn't be able to do it in a way that we'd be proud of.
That just
of.
Means we don't have a kit.
Like that shape of glass is too hard to do.
And it was like curved and wide too. Mm. So they were like, we'll need to do two pieces and it'll be a seam.
Mm.
That was, and actually most of my problems with the 944 stem around the hatch. Mm. I love it.
Yeah.
But like the hatch glass, it has every 944 has the same problem where that glass will delaminate from the frame and it'll leak right where the hatch glass meets the body.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's just unavoidable. It's just because the design of the car.
Okay.
Where do you put the 968?
Above.
Yeah.
Above. I don't know if
210 horsepower.
Well, like, do you like it? Oh. Do you like it better? Better. How about that?
Because I think it's the spirit looking car.
I definitely think so. I think headlights up, the 944 wins. Headlights down, the 968 wins.
Depends what you're going. Depends what's on your soundtrack.
Because with the headlights up, the 968, it's got those frog eyes.
Yeah. True. I don't know how to feel. I love the 928.
That's interesting. So you guys, but both aesthetically and generally, like the 968.
Oh yeah.
Well, I feel like half of them
muscular.
It does. I feel like half of them were cabs. And I feel like a good portion of those were automatics. So if you can get yourself a 968
is mostly automatic.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate because that was like the swap to do.
It was like 4 years only or something.
Swap the six speed into the 944.
Yeah.
I've been looking for another 944, kind of jokingly.
But not really.
Not really joking.
No, it's a good chance. It's fun to go back and buy your first like fun car.
And I don't have a space to work on it, which is the problem.
You're like in a high rise or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's
electric car, okay. Because if it goes up in flames,
then it's whatever.
Your problem. That's it.
Okay. All right.
But I've been kind of looking at like, I want a second car.
Yeah.
Kind of like whatever. I want something that I can take to the mountains. Mm. Without worry about like, oh my God, am I going to scrape it? Am I going to bottom out on 2 inches of snow?
Because you will.
Because I will. Like I could take my car, if I put winters on it, I could take it to the ski hill, the ski mountain, whatever, but I would be afraid of some dude hitting, like scratching it or whatever.
And that's it. It's everyone else.
But if I got an older car or if I got like, I've been looking at like a Touareg diesel or a Cayenne diesel.
Those are hard
to get behind that.
Those are hard to find, but they're awesome. Yeah. They have like a ton of torque, right? They're like torque monsters.
Yeah.
Those are so cool.
Separate differentials. And
but like, would you consider like a, I mean,
but
so like a 944 is, it hits that note of like, you're not going to worry about like a little scratch on it or something like that, but it is a rear wheel drive sports car. Like, are you okay? Are you open to that?
Skinny tires. I've driven it in the winter before.
Yeah.
And they make a lift kit for it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have seen some 944 safari.
I'm okay with that.
And it's much, much more cost effective to do a safari 944 build than it is a 911 build.
I think it's not a bad usage of an old 944. You know,
I think if I were to get another car, that would be. Okay. I would just get a 944 again. I know how to build it. Like it sounds like
you worked on it. You're familiar with it under the hood a little bit and under in the suspension points and things like that. But would you go for like an earlier one? Like one that's not as like desirable performance wise, but like you just have fun with it as like a, almost like a dune buggy or
safari, a cab, done, game over.
Can't put my, my Seasucker ski rack on top.
Yeah. Was there technically a 944 cab?
There was. They're never kind of rare though, right? The S2, I think.
Ugly. Yeah. They're really ugly.
It doesn't look quite as
I think they are. Yeah. I know there's 964 cabs, but they did build a 944.
968. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That, yeah. Yeah. 968. Now, what did I say?
964.
There's also good. 964.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real Porsches.
Right. Yeah.
No, but there was a 944 cab at the end.
Pretty rare anymore though. Yeah. I feel like just don't, I mean, it's been years.
There was a, and I know we're kind of going over, so
no, it's fine. Don't worry.
A couple minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, like a year ago.
Yeah.
It was up for auction. I think it went for like $60,000. It was a
really
944 cab, blue top, blue interior, ruby star.
No shit.
And I was like, I'm pissed off.
Yeah. That would look great next year.
I need this car.
Yeah, it'd look great next year. Ruby star Cayman GTS.
So in this fantasy land where I'm getting another car,
I would
have to. If it was a Touareg, I would have to do Harlequin, which I know that I've talked to you. They need to bring the Harlequin back.
Why wouldn't they? They would sell everyone they had at a premium. That's not what happened the first couple of times, but
no, it would happen now.
Yep.
Okay.
So if it was a Volkswagen, I would have to wrap it Harlequin. But any other one, it's getting the restart treatment,
dude. You'd be such a player if you did that. Like if you actually turned that into a,
well, which one are you leaning more towards? Like, I mean, I guess for driving up to the mountains, and you said you might be an Alpine enthusiast cause you have a Sucker Cup, ski rack
or
snowboard rack,
which goes on the Cayman.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yeah, I mean, either one I think would be equally good.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's dumping, I'm not gonna. I don't. Right. You're not gonna.
Right.
Hours.
Right. You know. Beware. Birthed pass. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Powder days are. Powder days might be worth. Well, 10 hours.
You guys are both skiers. Yeah. This is where I shut off.
But I mean, but. I think a 944 with like a safari build, maybe some studded rear tires. I think they would be awesome having the spare tire. Built on the back or something. God. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've been thinking a lot about it, and it's just a matter of, do I want to spend a whole bunch of time and money,
mm-hmm.
or do I spend the same amount of money and have a less cool car? You know, I mean?
You get one that's like already four wheel drives, you know?
Yeah. You wear Birkenstocks and socks. So, you're all about cool.
This is true. So, and my authentic, blue collar Carhartt pants.
I know.
Covered in oil stains.
Not to the common people.
From working on cars.
Yeah. No, you're.
I love it. All right. Well, we're 25 minutes.
Yeah. We can call it. But I'm. Thank you for.
I got a pee mostly.
So thank you for introducing me to the 944. Yeah. Like an enthusiast
everyone,
car.
Everyone, buy them now. Yeah. Buy them while you can.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Everyone should at least drive it once. Yeah. Drive a nice 944. Make a friend that has a nice 944 and let them drive it because it is so much fun.
Not making them anymore.
So I thought one of the nicest things Jason Kamisa said about it, about one of the cars I like, which is the current Subaru BRZ GR86.
How much horsepower?
944.
Is he said like this is if Porsche was still building the 944 as they did and sort of like to that formula, you know, front engine, rear wheel drive, this would be that.
Yeah, they're very and they even comparable, aren't they?
The same like shape. Kind of too.
Same shape. And it's almost the amount of horse. So it's 224 is what the new ones have. It's almost like that might be about what like the Porsche was building right now.
Yeah. At the end. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
interesting.
So anyways, well,
I'm a fan too.
Go out and buy a fan.
He went on and on about that. What is it?
Jerry Seinfeld is a huge fan.
I'd love to hear that.
He loves 944s.
So. I love when money is literally no object.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld could buy the best of every single version of the 944.
Buy a small country and he likes that. I mean, that says a lot.
Maybe he goes to your country. You're made up.
Andorra. I don't know if you could buy Andorra for
you could rent out Liechtenstein.
I bet Jerry Seinfeld's closer than you think to buying out all of Andorra.
We're Airbnb. Being Liechtenstein, Andorra. Well, this was fun, Oliver. Always a pleasure.
Always a blast.
You bring a unique angle to the show. We appreciate it.
I try.
You know, glad we got you out of the.
Yeah, and his age, it ages us down. Our average age on this podcast is just reduced by.
I think we're down to 30s now.
Yeah, we're down to 37 or so.
That's good.
Maybe high 30s.
Yeah.
All right, come back. Bring our pal Evan back with you.
He's after his world adventures.
That's right. So, love that guy. Amazing photography. If you don't know Evan Lewis, check out his photography online. And I think it's just, what is it? What's his handle?
EvanLewis.expedition.
Expedition.
Right. Check it out for a great Instagram.
It's follow, an accurate handle. All right. Till next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Doug.
Oliver Rotkiss. Sorry, let's do that again. I fucked that up. Till next time, we're the steering committee. I'm Ryan.
I'm Doug.
I'm Oliver.
Peace out.
Saving money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stomper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stomper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.